The Lord be with you.
I
am so glad to see you in church this morning, and it's a scattered crowd, but you are faithful, and I'm happy you're here. I have several announcements to share with you, and one is that Vacation Bible School is going great. We've had three sessions of it on Wednesday evenings, and we've got one more to go. We've developed some momentum, and I don't know if we're going to be able to stop. I think we're just going to keep doing it. No, I don't think Amy would agree with me on that, or a lot of the other helpers too, but it has been great, and we've had a growing number of kids, and we're hoping to have, we'll have one more session this coming Wednesday, and then the Sunday after that, one week from today, will be VBS Sunday, and we're inviting all the families as well, and so hopefully we'll have a grand crowd that day. I hope you can be here to help be part of that, and that you will help us to welcome those folks. The idea is to reach out to people that don't have a church home, and we do have some kids that are from families that are not part of our church, so we'd love to invite them and to welcome them into this congregation. So one more week, thank you for all of your contributions. Some of you have made behind the scenes contributions and work and have made things and given things, and so it's definitely a church-wide project, and grateful especially for Amy and all of the staff that she has recruited who have helped to make it a reality. So on that Sunday, next Sunday, that'll be August 11th, right after the last day of Vacation Bible School, we are going to have a back-to-school bash. We're going to have a VBS Sunday where we invite people from all over, invite people who are parents of and families of the kids that have been coming. And so hopefully next Sunday we can have a grand crowd, and we will have a lot of people here that day. We will have blessing of the backpacks for school to start, and we've made a special tag for each one. Last year's tags, I think, were a little generic. This year it has the name of the church and the website on it. It says, the carrier of this backpack has been prayed for by folks from First United Methodist Church Commerce. So we are going to, and they're really nice plastic loops that go on their backpacks, and they'll last and last all year if they leave them on there. So if you can be here that day and help us to greet our guests, that would be awesome. There are other announcements that I'll call your attention to that are in your bulletin. Our mission of the month, and it's in Wesleyan Campus Ministry Work Day. You can pay attention to those and put those on your calendar as you will. Jean has an announcement to share.
Anyone that's been in this church more than a week know that there are people that keep appearing at times of crisis and then when there's work to be done. And I happen to know who they are. And I asked Dennis Anderson and Al Stapleton and Jim Patton and Pat Scoggie and Mike Roberts to serve as captains for a work day, and then we had a lot of work to do. Well, fortunately enough, everybody knows that those guys really mean business. And 20 of your friends and neighbors showed up starting at 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and we finished, the last one went out the door at 3. And we cut and hacked and took all the stuff that's grown up over 50 years on top of the canopy over the parking lot area out there. And we owe them a debt of thanks, and I know there are a few here. Anybody that was working on Saturday, Ben wasn't working, he was sitting down most of the time. But everybody that was here was working. Stand up. Come on, come on, come on. We are indebted. We're indebted for their work. We've got desks there in some of our work areas now. Jim Patton worked on those. We were the benefactors of a company in Dallas shutting down, and we got their desks. The thing is, we had to take them apart. That was the first mistake. We took them all apart, and then they had to get put back together. And putting back together, Jim Patton was muttering to himself, and you know Jim's in trouble when he starts talking to himself. So we had a great day, and we thank all of you for working.
So we do get to come to the table this morning, and everyone's welcome. And our communion liturgy is going to be a little different today. It's going to be done musically and hopefully inspiringly. It's good to have company. Some of our kids are home, and little Hudson's here. He was our baby Jesus on Christmas Eve, and he's grown into a fine young man. So with all that said, with a hearty welcome and those announcements, then I invite us to begin our worship. Would you rise as you are able, and let us join in our creed number 866. This is a World Methodist social affirmation that comes from 1986. It is prophetic, I think. Go ahead and stand, get ready. It is prophetic, I think, in its tone and in its statement, its strong statement of faith. And so I invite you to join in this confidently. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide and strengthen and comfort.
We believe, God help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love and justice and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or by action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that seem to threaten our very existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Standing as we sing number 87, What Gift Can We Bring?
Amen.
Let's join now in greeting one another and also sharing the peace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As you take your seats, let us prepare to worship God with our tithes, our gifts, and offerings. Remember that all single dollar bills, those that are loose and running around, that fall into the offering plates will be gathered up and become designated gifts for the Wesleyan Campus Ministry. Otherwise, your checks or envelopes we'll go to the usual place of supporting the ministries and the outreach and the care and the life of this congregation. So let the ushers come forward and let us pray. God, as we gather this morning, we seek to honor you in all that we say and do. We ask your blessings upon these gifts that are brought, whether they are gifts of the heart, gifts of the voice in singing, or gifts that will fit into these offering plates, gifts of caring for someone outside the church in ministry, of being a good Samaritan, or of hosting our community in some way, especially our students that are returning to campus. Help us to be your agents in your world. We pray also for our efforts to reach our community through our Vacation Bible School. And in all the ways that we reach out, we pray that you would go before us and bring honor and glory to your kingdom through the efforts that we compile and through the offerings that we gather this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
614 for the bread which you have broken.
So in our time of prayer, I invite us to share our joys and concerns. And in the context of our praying, there are some listed in our bulletin this morning. A joy for Bob and Sally Grove celebrating 65 years together. And good news from Tom Dudley's family for the recoveries of Chase and of Tom's daughter, Angie. It's good to see Betty and Jean Castleberry here this morning. I saw them. Yeah. I saw them coming in and they are all smiles, and I saw a lot of smiles greeting you. So welcome home. We're happy to see you. So there are lots of other needs in our world. Of course, the terrible shooting this morning, early, just unbelievable. And our world is so broken and so needy, so in need of grace and in need of sanity, in need of hope where hopelessness seems to reign and rule, in need of self-control where hostility seems to rule. There's no way we can sit here and fix all that, because the world has been broken for a long time, and I know it breaks God's heart. But at this moment, we can pray for people. We can pray for peace. We can pray for hope. And we can pray for the families of those whose lives have been snuffed out, and for those who were desperate enough to find committing such an act to be the only course for them to take. So in our own church family, in our own families, there are folks who need our prayers, and I invite us to begin with silence and lift all of this before God's throne. Lift it together and leave it at the feet of Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, we celebrate that you bring hope that you bring life through brokenness and hurt. We celebrate that when we come to your table where brokenness reigns, where we celebrate the meaning of the broken body of Christ and the ways that the church has been broken in the service of Christ and to Christ. We have no choice but to gather our needs and place them before you. Oh, we have things to celebrate. We have things that make us smile and give us hope. But we have so much more, oh God, that we just need to pour out at your feet and to leave it at your grace table. God, where we come today to stand or kneel at this altar and receive the precious gift of your body and your very life poured out for us, help us to make our confessions. And help us to be confident of your forgiving grace. Make it so that we can be presenting ourselves at the altar for blessing and for forgiveness, but that we might rise to new life, that we might rise in our spirits and in our hearts to life and life again in ways that will amaze us. If we pay attention to your gift and your risen, resurrected spirit within us, then we will find hope. And we will be that influence in our world which is so needed. God, each one of us have confessions to make and needs to express. We thank you for this community of faith and for the closeness we share, but we pray that we may find ways to crack it open and share it. That we might find ways to carve it up and serve it by serving your people, the stranger, the lost, the needy, the poor. Help us to find ways to welcome all people and to bring hope to all people, not hope that we have to give, but hope that we have to offer that comes through Jesus Christ. We share at his table today. We kneel, presenting ourselves humbly, but we rise in victory and in grace to make a difference in your world. And let us make this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who we know loves us and whom we love so dearly. Help us to be his hands and feet in the world. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, and then verse 43. If you want to follow along, it starts on page 528 in your pew Bible, and then finishes on page 530 with verse 43. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, and then 43. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry he fills with good things. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
As our sermon text, I would like to invite you to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me out to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard lest all kinds of greed against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord. Amen. So I'd like to start with the story of the man with two umbrellas. Have you heard it? Dr. Gordon Taggerson was a Baptist pastor in Worcester, Massachusetts. Years ago, he was crossing the Atlantic by ship, and several times he noticed a dark-skinned man sitting on the deck of the ship reading his Bible. One day, Dr. Taggerson sat down beside him and he said, "Forgive my curiosity, but I'm a minister and I couldn't help but notice that you are reading your Bible every day on our journey so far, and I'd just like to meet you." So after introductions, the dark-skinned man said, "I'm Filipino. I was born into a Catholic home. I went to the United States as a young man to study in one of your fine universities, intending to become a lawyer. On my first day in campus, a student dropped by to visit, and he offered to help me any way he could, and then he asked me where I went to church. I told him I was Catholic. He told me how to find the Catholic church, and he sat down, drew me a map, and I thanked him and he left. On the following Sunday morning, it was raining, so I decided to just skip church. But then there was a knock on my door, and there stood my new friend. He was holding two umbrellas, one in each hand. He said that he was worried I might not be able to read his map, so he said he would escort me to the Catholic church. I hurriedly dressed, thinking all the while what an unusually thoughtful person he was, and I wondered what church he belonged to. As we walked along, I asked him about his church, and he said that his church was just around the corner. So I suggested we go to his church this Sunday, and then to mine the following week, when it wasn't raining, and he agreed. But somehow I felt so much at home in his church, the man said, that I never got around to finding mine. After 4 years, I felt God was leading me into the ordained ministry rather than into law. I went to Drew University Seminary and was ordained as a Methodist minister. Then I returned to the Philippines to serve in a Methodist parish. My name is Valencius, Bishop Valencius. I returned to my homeland, and now I am Bishop of the Methodist Church in the Philippines." So no matter how important this man is or has become, the hero of the story is not the bishop. The hero is that anonymous young man with the two umbrellas. Whether they ended up at the Methodist or the Catholic Church didn't really matter. Going all the way back to the beginning of Christian history, you will always find such people who open the doors for others. One of them is behind just about every Christian convert, someone who cared enough to share faith, to share life. That unnamed hero, that man or that woman or that youth with two umbrellas. That person with a winsome faith who builds a bridge of friendship with another person, another human being. And then across that bridge that is built walks the eternal living Christ and claims another precious soul. So you can be that person with two umbrellas. You can be like Andrew, the first disciple who brought his brother Peter to Jesus. It begins with a simple invitation to come worship with us. Worship is we, and we includes you. Sometimes we learn the most from our children. You can be like Andrew, the first disciple who brought his brother Peter to Jesus. You can be one who gives a simple invitation to come worship with us. Worship is all about community. It is definitely we. But then there's that man who punished his 3-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Money was tight, you know. And gold wrapping paper was expensive. He was infuriated when the child tried clumsily to decorate a box to put under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought that very gift to her father the next morning and said, "This is for you, Daddy. This is for you." Once he realized that the gift was for him, the father was pretty embarrassed by his overreacting. He opened the box, but his anger flared again when he found that the box was empty. He yelled at her, "The box is empty. Don't you know that when you wrap someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside of it?" The little girl looked up at him with tears, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, that box is not empty. I blew kisses into that box, all for you, Daddy." Again, the father was crushed and humbled. He put his arms around his little girl and begged her for forgiveness. And he kept that gold box by his bed for years. Whenever he was discouraged, he would take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of the child who had put it there. This box was just such a gift in my family. And you can't see it from there, but it's got all different colored markers written in the bottom of it where it says hugs, kisses, hugs and kisses. And attached to it's a list of other times that I've used it for a children's sermon. But I figured it makes a pretty good adult sermon too. Because in a very real sense, each of us has been given a gold container filled with unconditional love and embraces from God. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, the Christ of God, we have access to eternal life. Oh yeah, there are times when it feels He has left us to make it on our own. And there are times when it seems like we can't go one step further in life. There's no more precious possession anyone could hold than a gold box filled with the love of a child. The love of God. And we have that gift. And it's our responsibility and privilege to share it. It's one of the most precious things we have to remember Christ when we come to this altar and receive the bread and cup, receive the treasures that are unseen, fruit of the earth, fruit of the vine, grow from nothing and become bread and drink and then go again to nothing. But in the meantime, remind us of the blessing of God's presence and of the graciousness of God's love from the signs and symbols in the box. Disciple Thomas didn't have evidence of Jesus' lordship. He just knew that he had something special in his relationship with Jesus. And he wanted to get closer. He wanted to see the wounds. He wanted not to just be a casual follower, but to truly and faithfully be committed to following Jesus. And once Jesus appeared to him, that was heroic for Thomas's faith. He wanted to know this one who knew him already. Thomas didn't want to become a casual follower and just play with faith. He wanted to go all out and all in. How about you? What does it take for you to become a hero of faith? What about trusting God when you cannot see God? What would it be if we practiced our faith like we practice a musical instrument, or like we sing, vocalizing, improving our voices? Or maybe like you would practice a set of spelling words. What does it mean if we practice our faith in order to grow it, and to not only grow it taller, but to grow it deeper in its roots? There are heroes we've been talking about each week during Vacation Bible School. So far, we've done three, and they simply inspire me. And they inspire our children as well. It's been such a joy co-teaching those stories with Judy. And it's been fun to see how the kids respond to them. And then they go to their classes, and they make things, and they color things, and they prepare things that are related to those gifts. But our first hero, Daniel, and this is all about taking steps of faith. Daniel kept his faith and honored God by praying three times a day. He enjoyed God's protection when he was most at risk, and that was in a den of lions. The second one was Queen Esther. Queen Esther appeased the king and won him through his admiration of her, with her boldness and her willingness to take a risk. With the elements of that story, as we read them, our children were instructed to say, as we read to them, they were instructed to respond with one of two things. If it was good news, it was amen. And if it was bad news, it was, oh, man. And sometimes they were a little bit confused of which it should be. But it's pretty obvious when it is good news. And Queen Esther was definitely a hero who saved her people. Then there were the 10 who were healed by Jesus, and only one of them returned to thank him. That was a show of gratitude, a hero indeed, grateful heart. There was a man named Valencius. Bishop Valencius, in fact, who returned to his homeland and became the Methodist bishop in the Philippines. And in that story, we have a happy ending. We have a person who was really struggling, but who found his faith because he found a friend who was willing to carry him to his church, even though it was raining. That's a true hero. I don't know how you've been a hero in your life. Some of you might have stories like that. I'd love to hear them. But I can guarantee you that there are more opportunities to be a hero in the future than there have been in the past. Because we can't live in the past. We can live in the hope that Jesus makes for us to follow Christ. Jesus is our hero, and it's His healing and hope that becomes known in our life in ways that we didn't expect it or even ask for it. God is our hero. We see reflections of that in people, in saints, in one another. We have heroes throughout history. But as we come to the table this morning to kneel and receive the gift of grace, we walk in their footsteps. We walk in their shadow. Since disciples gathered with Jesus in the first century, we have been offering this table where when we begin to follow Jesus, we focus on Him in ways that are dramatic or even heroic. Let us bring others to the feet of Jesus today, this week, and always. Perhaps you can look at it like bringing an extra umbrella for a friend and walking with them to church, even if it's in the rain. All are invited and welcome to come to the table of the Lord, no matter what your faith feels like this morning. Our liturgy is going to be a little different. It's going to be in song form today. I invite Kathy to come and share with me in that. And as we do so, I invite you to close your eyes and pray to recognize that it is the very gift of Christ that we share at this table. It is the very gift of hope that we have in His resurrection and in His grace. Amen. On the night you were betrayed, you broke the bread. After giving thanks, you broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." Then as you eat of it, remember. Drink it, remember me. The table is prepared. Come as you are ready. Thank you. Discipleship, which is in number 569 in our hymnal. I'd like for you to make this your prayer and be willing to go out into the world and share this story. Tell this story to the nations. Goodness knows our world needs to hear it. A song of peace, a song of hope, a prayer of sanity. And so we have something to offer. And we also find it worth noting that families are going to be here because of Vacation Bible School. Families are going to be here because of new students moving in across the highway. And it's our job to make a place for them and to welcome them into the fold of faith where they can grow and be nurtured and where they can find hope and find community. So that's part of the story that we have to share. Let's sing number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations, a story of Christ and a story of peace. Number 569. Would you rise with me, please, as we make this our parting hymn? And if somebody has more business at the altar today, you're welcome to come during this hymn. We have a story to tell to the nations. Tyler? Go from this place ready to share the gift that we have found, ready to let the Christ seed and grow and blossom in us through God's Holy Spirit, which resides in us, ready to make a difference in our world, whether it's people that come to us or people that we go and find. Let us scatter the beams of God's grace. Amen.